When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're your DocuSweeties.
Hey everyone, I'm Wa.
And I'm Chris, and welcome to DocuSweeties.
We're two longtime friends who discuss the riveting and sometimes trashy world of reality TV and docuseries.
Yes, but through our own lens, which can be in New York, it can be in Kauai, it can be in LA, it can be in Minneapolis, it can be in Hong Kong, and it can be in Taiwan. But at the end of the day, hopefully it's somewhere mildly sweet. Honey, we are talking about that 90 Day Fiancé. It's Love in Paradise, Season 4, Episode 2. We're experiencing turbulence, which they don't have to tell you because you already know when it's happening.
Yeah, like you really, really do. Because you are in shaking. A can in the sky shaking.
Shaking your fucking balls off praying. So you don't need this person to be like, you know what? It's a little bumpy. Really, bitch?
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
A little. So I think that we've turned a corner and it's only episode 2. Kyle is a crazy person who I think it's like it's kind of like Steven of Steven and Alina or Alina, whatever her name was, like the Turkish cats. It's like him and then somebody who has a kink who is never or who, and if they have only been with goober women. And then, like, on the show, I was very uncomfortable when he kept calling her good girl. And not because I'm on some feminist kick, because I can't imagine that he's anybody's dom. Anybody's daddy dom. I just can't imagine it. And it makes me very fucking uncomfortable. Okay. So we start off with... she drops him off at the place he's going to stay. And he's like, I don't want to stay with Anna because she has a son and I don't want to meet him. No, because I want my own bathroom. I want my own space. And then we realize it's because he's about to get into the space and be weird. So that's why he's giving us like social problems and maybe an unawareness of the world or how he sits in it and moves in it and what to do. He does bedroom sit-ups and it's like, whatever this producer is, it's like, hey Kyle, I wonder if it's a woman. I wonder if the producer is a man or a woman. One. Two, I wonder what it is that the producer said to him. Was the producer like, well, Kyle, so what we're going to do is we're going to get some shots of you doing your normal nighttime routine. And he was like, well, that's great because I got some really good routines, I think, that'll really show America how virile and great my sperm is. And I really do see this show as an opportunity for me to get my name out there. So actually what I do is I do sit-ups on the bed. This helps. You know, he starts to like do sit-ups and like legs straight and then knees to chest. And we're just watching a weirdo because I feel like there may be a gym in that hotel that he could actually just go and work out in. So
there's 1 billion things to discuss and 4 million questions that happen. And I will tell you this. As we know, as we move through this world, we know the spectrums that exist, sexuality, gender, autism, all of it. And we are all, including me, on the spectrum. And I will tell you, so is Kyle. Now, I can't put him, honey, where the spectrum is. He is on all of them. You know what I'm saying? And one and all of them, he is quite a character. He is eccentric. And absolutely. And what is truly, I think, I guess literally, like the thing that I am obsessing about with him is that he has a linear way of thinking about so many things, including how he's going to do his body and how he's going to like give birth or whatever, like father all these kids. But then the linear way he thinks about his relationship with her, with the point system and the good girl thing, where it's she does this, and where he has absolutely no awareness of what he is giving or how bad it is, or how many points he's losing in every moment that he breathes, talks, and every choice he's made, which will be subtraction of points for the most females. You know what I'm saying? Like, for instance, he drops him off. He's in his, like, pants, shorts he wore on the plane. They're going to go to dinner. The man, the producer knows what they're doing because they actually have him be like, I think it's okay for me to wear this, which makes me feel like the producers were like, are you going to wear that? You're probably fine. Like, I feel like it's crazy that he's like, but anyway, he's like, yeah, I think I'm fine that I'm going to wear this thing. Even though it's a fancy dinner, like I think that wherever we go, it's going to be lots of people. Then he proceeds to get there and then excuse it that, like, well, here's the thing, Americans dress horribly all the time. And so it's an American thing. And everyone in Europe dresses fancy and that's their thing. They're dumb. But Americans are dumb too. I'm not a dumb American. Like, that's basically, it's obviously offensive to us as Americans. It's also true for half of America. So it's also annoying. Now, what do you
want to say? But also, like, he doesn't represent me. He doesn't represent me at all. I don't feel any kinship to him as an American at all. So when he says that, I said, you low down, dirty, stank, trash bag man. You know how I feel about outside clothes in pub, but you have the audacity to come on a first date with me with the same outfit that you were on a plane in?
And I know because I picked you up?
No, bro, that's crazy. And then the man starts to, when they talk about the food and like what he's going to order versus what she's going to order, she has a glass of wine, he deducts points and then begins to shovel food in his mouth. No table manners, raised in a barn by wolves. Okay? Like wolves, raised outside.
Peasant wolves, cheap peasant, the worst of the wolves, honey. Like the wolves that like were around Scar, whatever, like, you know, like I don't know what those are. You know, they're like whatever.
Hyenas. They're hyenas,
honey. You like, know, like they're, yes.
Raised like an animal. He doesn't even know that he could sit up and actually just bring the fork to his mouth. He gets down low. That's really good. And she's watching him embarrassed, disgusted, and she doesn't get up and walk away. And I'm so confused. He's disrespected her times 10.
He's disrespected the world times 71 because this man has 71 kids. And all I thought about as I saw this man eat the food he did, the way he did with the smelly clothes from the entire flight, that he showed up with like athletic stinky shorts with his ball sweat in it to this dinner with her. I was like, oh my God, 71 kids are half you in this world. And it's actually one, I will tell you, this is the sweet part of how I would get, it's actually crazy to think that this specimen got past Darwin and the survival of the fittest to get 71 of his offspring on this earth right now, when he is roaming it, thinking and doing the things he's doing. I just sat there in awe. Like, listen, two things made me open my mouth in awe, agape, and I just couldn't deal with it for the past week, show-wise. One was this episode watching him do this, and the other was the entire series of Baby Reindeer, which I think is one of the most phenomenal TV shows I've seen since Fleabag. Oh my God, it's amazing. You have to watch it. But both shows, and that's the entire 7 episodes of that, and this one moment of this episode that I was like, My mouth is open. I can't say anything. So anyway, having said that, I was like 71 kids, 71 kids, 71 kids, 71 babies, 71 people slurping, 71 people with the ball sweat pants. I could not get it in my body fast enough. But then what I told you off podcast, off screen, that I will just reiterate here is the unforgivable thing is not so much to him, but it's because at the end of the day, I'm a misogynist and I'm not a feminist, I guess, because I cannot get over Annie having this moment with him, seeing all this and knowing that in the super teaser, she later on is like, you know, his dick, huge, big, meaning that after this moment, she fucks him. And I just am like, I cannot deal with it. I can't deal with baby reindeer. I cannot deal with both ideas, but I just, help me. Like,
I didn't I watch just baby reindeer. So
then
like,
help me with this one. Then help me that she like, fucks. Then help me with this one.
I don't want to help you. Let me tell you why. Because
help.
She is a basic middle of the road individual anyway for me. Like the fact is the best thing that's ever happened to her life is her son. And she moved to Malta during the pandemic.
And the kitchen that she gets to have in Malta.
Like,
it's very cute.
Yeah, she obviously is a person with some very deep seated and rooted insecurities and issues to in the first place that she would fall in love with somebody who's like this and how he could switch it up on her. How did she not know about the point system? He just came out with that. And as soon as he came out with the point system, and he's never even had a girlfriend. And so for him to have this much audacity, I mean, the amount of gall that he has to even think.
She knows it. She says it. She's like, you're dumb because you haven't had a boy. You're dumb. You're doing this because you haven't had a relationship. Like, she even calls him out, which makes who has hurt this woman so badly? This woman hates herself so much.
Give her the benefit of the doubt and just say that the reason why she knows he has a big penis is because they've done some video time together. Maybe she didn't have sex with him. Maybe she knows the penis is big because they've done other activity. Let's move on because we're going to get really stuck in this thing. There's a moment of back scratching, like he's fucking Baloo. That is just another layer of like weirdness. And the truth is, it wouldn't be that weird, but the fact that she's like, ooh, he's like, good girl for rub.
No, do it more. Deal with it. I want you to deal with it. I can't. I know. Every part of him, the fact that he just thinks that he deserves everything. I deserve a point system. You have to please me. I'm already perfect. Please. I am a god and you are not good. And you have to prove your, like the fact that all of that is what's in the mind. It's just, and that she's saying yes to it. It's too much for me. It's too much for my soul. Like it makes me, I'll be single for the rest of my life. Like I think I just watched this and it was just like, Am I supposed to be alone for the rest of my life? Like, is that what it, like, is it that I have somehow, like, is this normal? And if I like grossed myself out where I have put myself on a pedestal or where I just can't tolerate anything. And maybe I am bougie for the rest of my life. And I guess I just can't, I mean, like, is this, I cannot fathom it. And I'll think I'll be single for the rest of my life. I really do. And I don't want that. I really have a lot of love to give, but it's conditional love. It's conditional love for you not to be the most disgusting person. And I have to like throw up in your presence. I can't do it. So I'll just be alone. Like if it's throw up in your presence or be alone, I'll just be alone, not throwing up, I guess.
Oh, it was so upsetting. Anyways, let's move on to Sean and Aaliyah.
I hate Sean. Sean grosses me out. Sean just is disgusting to me. I think he's like too old and she's too young. And it's like, it's disgusting.
I just don't have anything to say right now about them. Like I can tell you what happened. He gets there. So Aaliyah brings orchids to the airport to pick him up. She's got on a tube top, like an Avril Lavigne belt, some cargo pants, and some dad platform trainers. And then he gets there after being squished between two people in the middle seat for, I guess, maybe hopefully his last leg to Colombia or Brazil. And then he talks about supporting Aaliyah because of bringing just a suitcase full of hair extensions that look so cheap. I mean, looks like he just went to a beauty supply store and just grabbed packages of hair. Like, he didn't order some nice units, some units that were human hair. It was Barbie doll hair. It was hard wig, soft life.
I agree, in such a way that I was like, yeah, like, this is not something you can't get in Brazil, you know? Like, yeah. I don't know if it's just that it was free or whatever, or maybe, like, she thought she was going to get better. Yeah, I mean, sometimes, so obviously when she goes and meets him at the airport, she's wearing, like, you know, like, her cornrows, and then she has, like, this, like, little poofy, curly situation, fake hair piece underneath. And then in her confessional, she has a different wig on and she kind of looks like Lisa Bonet in it a little bit. Like, she has a Lisa Bonet kind of confessional look. Those are the two looks. But at one point, Sean and her talk about the fact that they had bought this doll for her. And it's like, it's named like Busepi. Sorry, that's like... Sorry, that's exactly how you say it. I have such auditory problems.
Busepi. This is a little, like, black looking doll, and it has, like, a full Italian man's name. So I was, like, real confused as to, like, what they were going for there. But then I was like, well, can you get her a white dog? Because I don't want her to have this doll as her companion, and that we're supposed to sit here and pretend like she's gonna put this. I mean, what is Barbie here? On this doll. So it was just, like, really, really annoying. And so then they go out to dinner where we find out that Sean may not be okay with Aaliyah and wants to know how far Aaliyah is taking this Aaliyah situation. And
Aaliyah's like, back, forth and forth.
Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. With R. Kelly oddly in the background. So Sean Kelly, that's what it is. It's S. Kelly, him being there in an inappropriate situation with this young person.
Absolutely.
Whom he's just like, I can tell you haven't changed. And I'm like, duh. Why the hell would Aaliyah change? Like, personalities. Like,
I wonder what's actually, I feel like half of me is wondering what's happening here, because Sean's very much like, look, I've been with females, I've been with males. So it's like, people would be like, why do you care? But it's just like, I do kind of care, because Aaliyah's thinking about not just getting butt implants, but also getting some stuff on the side, and the stuff on the side is feminizing. But
I don't like that.
I don't mind a bigger butt, but, like, once you tell me about hips, I'm like, ooh, I've been married to hips and I don't want no more hips in my life. Now, it's
no more hips, you dips, no more hips. Know,
I put my hand up on that hip, then I dipped, because I don't want any more hips.
No more hips.
But basically, I wonder if it's also Sean's way of, like, does Sean think he's going to be paying for these surgeries, or do you think he's going to have to?
I just don't know. I mean, if you were paying for Aaliyah to meet you at different airports around the world, it's like, to me, Sean sounds like one of these people who, like, because you want a companion to go with you around the world, and a hot companion at that, mm-hmm. you'll pay for it as long as it benefits you. But when whatever is happening doesn't benefit you, then you're like, oh no, I don't agree with any of this, because you're not living your life for me anymore. So I'm going to kind of take away whatever financial support, if I am giving it, or not support you in your things and let you figure it out. So, which is, I guess, technically his right, but, like, it's a dick move.
I think that Sean has to be honest with himself. It feels like Sean very much has a preference right now, whether he wants to say it or not. And, you know, like, you know, whether he doesn't want to hurt this person, you know, but there's a lot of ways to say something like, hey, you know, this is true. Sean's on death's door, and Aaliyah is very young and a transition in her life that, like, I mean, let's be honest. Sean could be like, I'm on death's door, honey. And you're about to, like, you know, embark on your new life as this lovely, beautiful female. So why don't I just let you, you know, like, grow, and I'll just go die somewhere. And, like, you know, or like hook up with some new man that like, you know, I feel like Sean wants to be with a man, you know, like Sean, I know. So Sean should just let Aaliyah go, live her beautiful life, and then be who with Sean wants to be with, which is like the youngest, you know, like thick thighed, you know, hot boy toy twink that, you know, like he wants it, that will like, you know, go to gay pride parades and, you know, whatever, you know, like that's what Sean wants.
And Aaliyah's okay with that. Like Aaliyah is like, if Sean is not going to get on board with me and who I am now, then we can, you know, bye. Like we can go our separate ways. So I don't understand like what this him and Han is about. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's move on to a new couple alert. So we get a really awkward scene and an awkward setup when we're introduced to Alex. So at first we're watching it and we're like, what's happening? And it is a over the shoulder shot of her patient and the patient wringing her fingers regarding having to talk with Alex. And Alex seems really calm. However, the person that she's talking to is very nervous. And then it like, at first I was like, is she a social worker? Like, what is she doing? And it's, she's a family therapist. So, okay. She's 30 years old. And then we have a scene where she's talking about like how she met, Adriano. I don't know his name. Alejandro.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're
Adriano. Right. Like how she met him. And she's like, I feel like I just give to people all day. And I'm like, girl, you chose this profession. Like, what are you talking? Like, what is happening? She's like, well, also I like to go traveling alone. And then sometimes I just get on apps and I'm like, girl, you are going to get sold into human traffic slavery.
I thought the same thing. I was like that's wild.
I needed
she's gorgeous.
I needed TLC to put like a disclaimer at the bottom that was like, this is dangerous. Proceed with caution if you ever travel alone. Or put something at the end of the episode, because what she's talking about is wildly scary. Like for her to be doing this thing. But, you know, she can live her life. But it's dangerous. So she goes to this very beautiful house and she meets with her family members and they're making gumbo and they sit around and they have a conversation. Very open, I'm going to be honest, for Black people, and very frank, I feel.
I thought it was one part, like at first it was like, oh, a bunch of females, like, yeah, getting like the tea. And then, yeah, as the conversation progressed and they talked more and more about things and she opened up about things, when she opens up about, well, they start talking about threesomes and she's honest about her situations, that then I was like, oh shit. Yeah, then that was, yeah, I wasn't expecting that. You're right.
She was honest about her past too. So she's like, she's barely 30. She is 30. She's like, yeah, my 20s, I used to do threesomes. And I was like, you mean like
last year?
A year ago? Like, oh. And she's like, but I don't want to do that anymore. So then it's like, did somebody force you? Like, or were you in a relationship with a man who also wanted to have threesomes and you went along with it? Ooh. But then it's like, I want her to know. As soon as she said that he wants to have threesomes and she doesn't, I was like, oh, you got to break up with him.
Me too. Yeah.
So I don't know why we're watching any of the rest of this, because I am too seasoned. I'm too old in my life and at a place with dating where I'm like, oh no, if those are one of my things that I'm like, yeah, no, I don't want to do this right now or maybe ever. So then we need to stop dating. Are seeing each other. So
I think about anal sex, even like, you know, which is so vanilla in me. I feel like some people think it's so vanilla and I don't like want to do anal sex or whatever, but it's like, it makes men crazy that I don't want to do it, you know?
Yeah.
It makes them nuts, you know, like, oh God, that's a lot of information. Sorry about it. But you know, we'll see if it changes in my life. I never want to do it. And it's like, when some men hear that, they are just taken so fucking aback. And I'm like, fine, I can't ever date you.
It's so weird. Yeah. Like when, yeah, I haven't had people ask me a lot, but they have. Yeah, they have.
And I'm like, stop.
Oh,
and I'm just so mad. I don't know, because I don't even have a butt. You know, I feel like sometimes, at least if it was advertising, that you think I'd like it, but like, I have no butt, you know, like, what are you doing with me? Like, go somewhere else.
I'm always like, I'm saving it for marriage. So.
Saving your booty?
Yeah.
Saving your booty for a diamond.
Yeah, for somebody who like pays my bills. I don't know. Like, I just can't. Like, I need to be super comfortable with somebody. And it's not going to be you, sir. I don't know if you're going to talk to me in 2 weeks. It's not going to be you. You're not going to be the first.
It's not going to be you.
Yeah. All that I do is run away from poo.
No!
In my booty hole.
No!
Finally, you get to love me. Guess what?
It'll be in my booty.
It's for my honeymoon. Like, you know? All right. Anyways.
In my booty.
Gosh. So he has a conversation with his blonde-haired, blue-eyed friend.
Right. I mean, Italian people are so wild looking. A lot, like, you know, I get like they are because Lindsay Lohan's Italian, like that one, like that red hair, and Lindsay Lohan's like, I am Italian. Like, okay, fine, whatever, God bless. But then yeah, like this blonde kid and him, honey, yeah. they're what a spectrum. What a diverse
What a diverse place. So he has this conversation with his friend about the threesome too, and then the friend is like, are you sure she's the one you could be doing and dating anybody you want to? And he's like, no, I really like her. I want to try to make this work. They've broke up twice in a year
because of the threesome.
So, like, you know, this is just a waste of our time, really. But we're here to report.
He keeps asking about it. Like, every time he's like, no, I'll never ask about it again. And then just 2 weeks later, he's like, hi.
Yeah.
Quick question. Remember when you used to have your face full of female PP, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, whatever, that and the fact that he's like, I just really want to, I love the vibe with three people. I love like two, you know, me on one body, like bodies just moving in that energy. And I'm like, what you were talking about sounds like polyamory or some kind of like situation where you are with three people or two people and they can handle it and everybody's a really adult about it. Like, I don't know, like you sound like you want more than just like, you meet somebody and you check out that they don't have any STDs and then you guys have sex and you never hear from them again. It sounds like you want a little more than that. But anyways. All right. So now and
his friend is like, hey, you know, we could also do about a threesome with me and you. And whatever, she's there. That's fine.
Yeah.
You catch your part? I was like, oh.
I didn't get
asked him, but earlier in the situation, his friend was like, oh, threesomes. What's usually the situation that frees him? And Adriana was like, girl and me. And his friend then hears the entire conversation and then is like, oh, okay, also we could do a threesome, me and you and the one you were talking about.
I didn't hear that at all. That's hilarious.
I swear to God. You know, and I was like, okay, you know, like that's fine, you know, like, and by the way, people would pay for that fucking, like, to see that. I mean, those are two hot men, honey, I'm just saying. Then I was like, who they have before? I mean, have they have? I bet they have before. Maybe they have before. I bet they have. Okay, sorry. Then the couple of couples, Luke and Madeline. Now, I will tell you this. Since this last episode aired, the first episode, let me just tell you the tea, which is this. They aired Luke's whole ass D on the episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Whole, it makes it sound like it's... Hole and ass makes it sound like it is large. I think you should say. I think you should say they aired his peen.
Okay, his tiny peen, and his tiny peen on the show. Now he had gotten him walking into the tanning booth when he talks about how he likes finer things. When he used to
his
be rich,
shrunk
whatever.
Trunk. His shrunk trunk is what it is. Okay.
Yeah,
his grower.
Okay. No, yeah, it's no show. It's a no show. Yeah, it's an MIA, you know, whatever, God bless.
Yeah.
They had put this part in, and then I found the tweet immediately. I copied the tweet, got the picture, put it on the Instagram. Low-key was like, I wonder if Instagram's going to come for me. They didn't, so it's still there. But then what they did is TLC Discovery Plus took off the episode to, like, deal
Clear
with
it up. Oh
yeah. So people would be like, I can't see the episodes because I took it off, I think, because they had to like take out that dick. Then that was a dick pic, honey. That was a hardcore dick pic. And when I say hardcore, I mean softcore because it was tiny. Anyway, so now we see him. He's packing lots of boxers for Columbia, you know, lots of boxers with the hard with
so like many. Strap.
So they just laid on top like all different colors with like a thick, you know, strap
or and you know what? I love him banned. Love him for that, because the truth is there some people do not bring, don't understand the underwear ratio when you travel. You need to bring at least two per day, right?
I bring baseline, four per day.
And then you bring four more.
Yes. And one in your carry-on, because if you lose your luggage.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You bring a whole outfit and all your stuff. Yeah. In the carry-on. So it's like, so if he's there for 2 weeks, that is 14 days. So that means that he needs to bring 28 pairs.
47 pairs of underwear.
28 pairs at minimum.
214 pairs of underwear, plus just so he'd be comfortable.
Which is 32 pairs.
947 pairs of underwear and a couple pairs of socks. No, I have literal anxiety dreams. I've had my whole life of being in a place.
Go ahead, tell your anxiety dream story. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, it's just I have anxiety dreams that like I'm somewhere and I look and I don't have the things I need. Honey, there's no underwear. There's one sock. It's dirty. You know, I have like half a like sleeping bra left, you know, and then I'm supposed to go to a gala. You know, my dad's like, "Are you ready?" And I'm like, it's the worst dream. That anxiety dream, the anxiety dream site. Let's just talk about it quickly. If you know this, just if you have these dreams, we're all the same. That I sometimes have a dream where my teeth are falling out or something's fucked up with my teeth or like, you know, like they're like splitting apart or they're like rotting or whatever. And it's like the other dream I have is that suddenly I remember that someone has given me like responsibility of little puppies or little kittens or something. And I'm like, oh my God, I haven't fed them in like 5 days. And I have to rush back and try and like procure some little bit of tuna or like steak from last night's meal and then bring it to them. And then here's the good thing. They're never dead. I somehow do it. At the end of the day, it's always like I have fucked up some huge thing and I have to like, I have barely anything to survive and maybe it won't survive. And I just have to like deal. What does that mean?
I have no idea, girl. I'm like, I have been sweating at night and I normally don't at least sweat to the point where I can like feel it. So I think I'm having some kind of dream. Well, let me think about that. Possible outcome.
Probably not.
Okay.
What were you going to say?
I don't even know, girl. You just told me that I might be premenopausal. So
you said half flaccid.
I sweat at night. I don't think of them as hot flashes, but I was thinking maybe I must be dreaming and sweating, or maybe I must be having some kind of anxious dream too. Maybe yes. I don't remember it. Okay. Anyways, so Luke and Medellin. So she, So anyways, he packs that and he's like, yo guys, like, he's still looking at us over his glasses because he just can't see through his sunglasses. But he says that he is nervous to go because this is the trip that he's supposed to just go and move there. And that's what she thinks he's doing. But he is hiding that from her, which is like a crazy thing to hide. I'd be so pissed if I were her. Once I find out, I would hit him. Like, maybe not like when he's awake, but definitely in his sleep. And he's like, yeah. And I also have to tell her, and she might not be happy with this because I've been whining and dining her for the last year, is that I'm dead flat broke. And that I'm currently living in my mother's garage. Like he had a fast descent into hell. Fast descent into poverty, just from making lots of bad decisions in business.
He took a Tesla there, honey. Yeah, it was fast.
But the gold that he has on, I want to know if it's real.
Thank you. So it's like fool's gold, so bright. It's as bright, like, you know, like, I have 22 carat like bracelets I got from like Syria, you know what I'm saying? And I feel like the brightness of those weird earrings he has is so awkward. I just cannot imagine that it's real, but I mean, you tell me.
But like, I've seen gold that's real and it's like high carat, like 24, or like, I know 24 is really thin, is really malleable, soft, but like, I just feel like I've seen different, I've seen Indian gold and it's bright. I've seen like Somali gold and it's very yellow. So I'm just like, I would really hope at the end of the day he could sell some of them that jewelry, because that's what I was thinking. I was like, if you're so in debt, sell that jewelry. But also, like, I don't understand why he has to get his affairs in order before he just cuts ties with everything in the U.S. and moves to Colombia. Does his debt follow him to Colombia? Can he just not get a job in Colombia with his American thing and working? I mean, it just feels like the fact that he can't move because of debt seems weird to me. Let me know if there's something that I'm not aware of and why you can't just skip out on your debt and go live in a foreign country.
You know, I don't know I don't know a lot about being an engineer, but being an engineer to me is one of those careers, like being a doctor or a lawyer, enviable for lots of people. And in that, I think that it's such a skilled trade that the thought pattern about it is that you are so smart that you will get a job doing whatever, you know, like interesting sciencey, businessy, whatever, like analytical shit that engineers do. Honey, can you tell I don't know? It's a theater arts major. So, but like, you know, it's like a smart person's job, you know? So like, to me, it's like a data engineer, you know, like you would just, I don't know. To me, it's like he could get a job. The fact that he hasn't yet is of interest, because anyone knows that like, it'd be a lot better for him to go there being like, listen, I lost my job, but at least I have this prospect, or I've just interviewed with this person, but he has nothing. Like he has nothing to show for it, except for the fact that he thinks, well, barely. Yeah. With his little D. He also says that he thinks her love is conditional. Yeah. And that is interesting because obviously it is. Yeah. And he's so early to say it. And then you're like, oh, well, maybe you are smart. And then we cut to her talk about smart, honey. And she, on her off time, just put together Rubik's cubes.
Yeah. I said, you, and she does the two different patterns. She does the full pattern and she does the pattern where the middle one is a different color. And I'm like, hey, you know, good for you, because I cannot figure, I used to be able to do Rubik's cubes. I used to understand how to move them correctly. And every time someone shows me now, I'm like, I don't get it. I really think that I was very smart young. And then at some point it just plateaued. And I'm upset about it.
I feel that way too. Like I used to be really good at math and stuff like that. And then suddenly I got bad at it. And then like, once I got bad at math, then I just put every egg in the basket of like literature, comprehension, reading, like, you know, like theater arts, like, you know, like scriptural analysis, like that kind of thing. It was just like, oh, if you require me to do any math or think about math or like stuff like that, I'll kill you. Well, and I killed a lot of people.
So she then gets up with these like dastardly long nails. Yeah. And she gets ready. She has balloons for him, and she just like bouncing, this little 19-year-old bouncing through this what must be an expensive apartment complex with balloons and something rolled in it, like a diploma. She goes to the airport and she's waiting for him, and she's waiting for him, and she's swaying back and forth. And at some point, one of her claws cuts the ribbon. Because I don't understand either the knot around the thing, or I don't know, something happened. So the balloons go up to the sky, to the ceiling.
Yeah.
Now this girl is so into looking at those balloons that she misses him, and she's been standing there looking for him the whole time. But she seems like she looks up for just like what, 5 minutes? How long does she look up?
Where did it go?
Yeah. She's just like, oh, balloons, they're in the ceiling. Oh, balloons. Like, you know, she starts singing in her head, and he's able to come up around her and pull on her or something, you know, to get her attention, jump on each other. And then he lifts her up. So the ceiling is low. Mm-hmm. Then we find out in that moment that the ceiling is
low. We didn't know.
We didn't know.
Tiny, and he's not that much taller than her.
yeah, and he can lift her up,
yeah,
so that she could raise a hand up and get the balloon, and then people start clapping.
Yeah,
so
because of the cameras, not because of them.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, what a pair, you know. And I'm very happy about them. So if you think I'm not, I am very happy about them. Yeah, like then she gives him that like poster or whatever, and the poster is of them from a different time where she has much darker hair, and they're like in front of like a helicopter.
Yeah, it was the engagement day, and I really think she looks better with the dark hair, or at least I want to see it. I need to see it side by side. It's kind of like selfie in robe. It's like, I need to see the I need to see those two people together.
Mm. Yeah, I can see that. Here we are, honey. Come to an end.
Yeah. All right, you guys. So thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. And if you want to support us monetarily, you can do so on patreon.com/docusweeties for $10 a month. You get exclusive content like a live every first Monday of the month. So if you are at all interested in that, please join us on patreon.com/docusweeties. But if you can't do the $10 a month, Chris will tell you how you can support us in other ways. Chris?
Oh, like definitely. Just open up your Instagram and type in @DocuSweeties, follow and like all of our posts. And you can do the same thing at TikTok forever. How long that TikTok still exists, we have no idea. But we are at DocuSweeties on that. We are at DocuSweeties on X, DocuSweeties 1. And we also have a private Facebook group, the DocuSweeties podcast Facebook group. And if you haven't yet, consider giving us 5 stars. We really need them. I mean, we really do. We know we need them. We do. We really need your reviews because it's like low key the only way that people like can tell that anyone watches or listens to any podcast. Like that's the way, I guess. You're like, oh, is this a interesting podcast? Oh, it has a lot of reviews. People must whatever like it. I don't know who, you know, anyway, but that is how they do it. And so help us, help you. But at the same time, thank you just for listening. We do appreciate you and we know we're silly and we appreciate that you like have spent any time taking us in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Taking us in.
Not the way that we don't want people to go in, but the other way. Okay. Thank you guys. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.